Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we want to pick up again studying the scriptures from last week. And we're looking at the first particular commandment that God has given to us. And, of course, we go back to Exodus chapter 20, and we see that commandment first given to us, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I hope and pray that you let this be more in depth to you, other than like most of the time, well, you know, I'm glad I don't bow down to a totem pole and this type of thing I've said before, because a lot of things can be a god between us and God. And if I've ever seen the study this time, it certainly made me aware of these things. So last week we got down looking at Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read some verses now to go back over those things we were talking about so you can see the application of Scripture. Father, we open this book. It's your precious word, Lord. As we do, we look to you to give guidance. Holy Spirit, help write it. Now give us the ability that lives in us, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, to understand it. Give us the power to make it applicable to our lives. And dear Father, as we come tonight, we understand there's so much we don't know about you. There's so much that we think we know. And Lord, it goes like a puff of smoke when we really do see who you are. And you eagerly want to reveal yourself to your children, especially. You know through the world it's going to come at the end of the age when you demonstrate your power and in turn show this world and humanity down through the years who's the one who's in charge. But during the age of grace, even now, you want to manifest yourself to us. And dear Father, we've got to be open-minded to you, though, and stay in the Scriptures, so without the Scriptures we will never understand who you really are. And so every aspect of Scripture we study, dear Lord, there's certain ways you show yourself to us, and we pray that as we see that invisible God who is so great that makes himself real through that which we can see. Dear Father, our hearts will be able to evaluate you to some degree. And when we do, we realize there's nothing in this world we can compare you to. You're an infinite, perfect, holy, righteous God. There's no way we can understand you without being born in the family of God. And even then, we find that our knowledge is very small, very crude sometimes because of the lack of ability for us to understand even what you write in your word for us to understand. I pray tonight you'd give us a little more edge because we were here. The table has been set. Thank for those who turn aside the things of the world to come. Lord, I fully believe, not that I'm such a great teacher, I know that, but I believe that you set the table across this country for your people to tend, that they may be fed by the word of God, and there'll be many wanting to be in church tonight. And it won't be because they're physical handicapped. It's just because they made that decision. So, Lord, we ask that you'd help us who have made the decision to drag this body here tonight. Bless us through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we got down to about, we was looking at verse, look what's in verse, I want to go back and read verse 18, 19, and 20. We were talking about four things last week, and I'm going to go back to that. I was telling you there's three ways that God is revealing himself through natural revelation. And also through original revelation. We were looking at natural revelation last week. And then, of course, he reveals himself not only through natural revelation, original revelation, but he reveals himself through the revelation of God in his eternal, unchangeable power and existence. And Romans chapter 1 is one of the best places we can find to see that. And I told you, when we looked at the original, at the natural revelation, the Bible teaches us in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. It's interesting, the wrath of God has been revealed. It's from heaven. He showed that for even the world to know that of the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men that hold not that hold the truth in unrighteousness. And he said that because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. That is what he's created, for God has showed it unto them. And then he comes in verse 20. And what I want you to see in these next few verses, as I said last week, I talked about man certainly was not ignorant. He was intelligent. Now, I've got to go back and explain, because sometimes you get teaching in a direction, and there's things I know and I probably should say and did not say. And the first thing that comes up, when you talk about a man being an intelligent person and then being an ignorant person, the first thing the world thinks about is you're talking about in a secular world. You're talking about in the academics as far as education is concerned. That's not what God is talking about. Though a very educated man who denies that God exists is a fool in God's sight, he could still be very educated academically in this world. He may have the best jobs, and he may have the best education and be in the highest trained colleges in the world. And humanity will look at him as being what they consider a very intelligent, highly educated person from a secular world. But God is showing us that when it comes to that era of life, when Adam was created, he had the ability, the highest education could be. And we see that in the names that he used. He named the animals, and he didn't have to have a dictionary or no way to look them up. He looked at the characters, and I said this a few weeks ago, he looked at the characteristics of every animal. He gave a name that had to do with that characteristic. He named them. He didn't have to have a book to look up names to see what he wanted to name them. And he just came because he was educated in the sense academically, and he'd never been to school that we know of. That's the way God created him. Maybe he had instant knowledge to some degree. I do not know that. I know one day there will be instant knowledge when we get the glorified body. But I'm telling you, when it has to do with academics, that's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about that the best educated man in this world could be have intelligence, but if he doesn't believe there's a God, he's ignorant. He is spiritually ignorant. And the Scripture teaches us the information about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, you see these words, and we know by heart, and just read. He said, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The things about God are spiritually discerned. Without God, who is a Spirit, by His Spirit, revealing them to us, we'll never see it. It just don't make sense. So we have to come to this realization that God is, and rewards them that diligently seek Him. And those who spend the time, the Holy Spirit that lives in us will teach that which He inspired. He'll help us to put it together in systematic order so it makes a clear picture to us, at least to some degree, though we'll never be able to comprehend it all because we don't have the capability of doing that. But we'll comprehend enough the world, Satan cannot trick us or deceive us about who God really is. And then that makes us become an enemy to the world system because Satan is in charge and running the world system and men don't even realize what is taking place. So we're talking about here, you start from that which is intelligent and move quickly to ignorance. From the highest to the lowest, when Adam sinned, and over a period of time, man has been going even, you know, it may be like that he went from here to here, but when he denied God, he began a downward spiral, and it's still going down. By the way, folks, listen, man's worse today than he's ever was. And the Bible teaches us that. Man shall wax worse and worse and worse. Until Jesus comes back, man is worse now than he was 10 years ago, 100 years ago. Even though that man can say, well, there's always been sin. Yes, there have. But I'll tell you this, if you can measure it according to the way God measures it, sin in this world right now is worse than it's ever been. And it's because man is still moving from that intelligent level to the lowest level. The only thing about it is, when he comes down to the ignorant level, then some other things begin to take place. And that's what we're seeing in chapter 1 of the book of Romans. They move down to the place of where you move to that which is ignorant. The next thing you find taking place is that person becomes to worship idolatry. Since he's not smart enough to know that the true living God is, he moves to a place of ignorance, but he realizes that he is above anything else that has been created, though he may not give God credit for creating us. He begins to look at himself as being that there's got to be some type of supreme being, but he has the ability to tell what it is, so he moves into idolatry. And when he moves into idolatry, the next thing comes to satisfy the flesh. Because most people in idolatry don't have much to do when it comes to go against the flesh. Idolatry seems to want to satisfy the wickedness of the flesh, because that is an inclination put in man to attract a man and woman together. And then you find when you move into idolatry, that leads into immorality. And so you move from intelligent to ignorance to idolatry to immorality. And then when you get to immorality, the last thing is a reprobate mind. That's the series here as God gives the steps downward as we start reading. So let's look at each of these and we'll pick them up as we go through and talk about each one of these at that particular time. First of all, let's look at the intelligent verse 18 through 20. Again, I read 18, it said, but that which may be, verse 19 said, being mental of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. And then verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, interesting. The world would tell you, that don't make sense. The invisible things of the world are not clearly seen. Why, anything that we know is invisible, we got to find some way to manifest. You can't see it with the physical eye. You got to find some way. Even the microscopic world, you got to find some way to bring it out to see it. But God says that, again, he said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. In other words, you go back and look what he talks about, what he has done and what is manifested that God has showed to them openly and not ignorantly. And now he says the invisible things, because you see what you see with your physical eye, should give you evidence enough to know, in that intelligent state, should give you evidence enough to know that there's got to be some power behind that. Got to be some type of brain behind that. And so it should make us realize there, even though you can't see him, there is a supernatural power. And he goes on. And then if there is a supernatural power, we know there is, then that supernatural power, if he can create what he created and want us to see the unseen things that he's talking about, including himself, which is a spirit, according to John 4, when Jesus talked to the woman by the well, then he's letting us know at this time that he's available to be learned even though we can't see him. He wants to reveal the unseen through the sea. And through that which you see. And I'm so glad that a study I made for 2 or 3 years, and I preached a message back about 6 or 8 months ago about the kingdom of God, and started back in Adam and show how that when God created and what he wanted to do. And I can't go into that now, but it kind of went this way. God, who is a spirit, came up with a plan, a wonderful plan, to reveal himself in a materialistic world that he had created through his image, Adam, which in turn, God, who is unseen, would rule through his image, Adam, in a world that he created for an environment on earth that he might promote his kingdom here. Got that first thing I saw that years, many times I read when it talked about the prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And one day, looking at that and breaking that down and studying, it amazed me that what God is saying in that prayer, as he prayed that prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know what he said? He, in that prayer, he said that God would let happen what he is in heaven happen in earth. And yet heaven is unseen and earth is made of matter which can be seen. And so here we know this is God working through his image. He made man the crowning element, whereas he could rule behind the scene. Give us the privileges of man to let God rule through us before Adam failed on this earth to promote his kingdom. There'd never been death. There'd never been sick. Never been the things we see had not sin enter into the human race. And then once Adam fell, then God had to cut him off and redo what needs to be done to get him back. And he didn't destroy him, but he cut him off spiritually. He died spiritually. And of course, the wonderful story from Genesis 3 on through Revelation is how he's redeeming man back unto himself. Now, here again, he says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being how? Understood by the things that are made." Watch this. Even his Godhead, notice that are made, and by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Isn't that interesting? Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful statement. God has said everything that he's made proves his existence, that he exists. And that should give us evidence that if you see all of this, there is a God. And he wants to reveal himself to you, but he will not do it through the physical eye. What you see with the physical eye just proves that he exists. But now he wants to reveal to you who he is by his Spirit, and he's quickened our spirit, made us alive so that we can read the Word of God, and he can enhance himself in our heart. And when he does, you'll see he's so much bigger than what we actually say he is. And he goes on and makes the statement. He said, "Not only would you clearly see him, being understood by the things that are made." In other words, as he revealed himself through the Spirit of his Word, as Word by his Holy Spirit through his Word, then those things that we see, he would enhance himself greater that you cannot see. And suddenly, I'm overwhelmed and wowed by what I see. And then God's much greater than that. He's much bigger than that. Now, when I look at this first commandment, the other commandments begin to make sense to me now. Especially the second one, when we get into that, maybe a month from now. Amen. Or hopefully before. But he goes on. He said, watch this, verse 6. He said, so that they are without excuse. Isn't that interesting? Well, the secular said, well, I have you to know, I just don't believe there's a God. He said, you don't have no excuse. What do you mean I don't have no excuse? I don't see if God says there's enough already here that's revealed. And by the way, my relation to you is faith, not sight. My relation to humanity is through faith. It's not through sight. And what I'm saying to you is real. You trust me by faith. And when you trust me by faith, I'll make it real to you. And you've heard me say before, it's like there's a canvas here with a slit in it, and suddenly God pulls it back and let us get ahead on the inside. And we begin to see spiritual things that are just unbelievable. And yet God, because He enhances Himself, I don't see my physical eye, when I begin to look at the spiritual things, He's so much greater, so much bigger than what I thought He was, even far as this world is concerned. So this has to do with the intelligent part here, that where God brought him from. He's got evidence here. He can see, and the visible things. Intelligence should also show him the invisible part. In other words, when God says this about the invisible world, we ought to say, isn't that great? Because what we see physically, what we see visibly at that time. And then we move into the ignorance. Look at verse 21 through 23. Verse 18 through 20 has to do with the intelligent part. He says, we got the intelligence to know this. We got the intelligence to know this. Because that which may be known of God is manifested. Then in verse 21 he said, again, he said they're without excuse in the last part of verse 20. Because that when they knew God. Now, verse 18 through 20, God can be seen in His creation, which should be able to reveal to us the invisible things we cannot see about God who is a spirit. Now in verse 21, he lists seven steps down here. A man's downward grade. I mean, he rejects known knowledge of God. And here's what he says. He moves from that intelligent part, spiritually speaking, not academically. He could still be a smart man and get rewards in this world. But he moves from that intelligent part, spiritually, to ignorance, spiritually, where God calls him a fool because he doesn't believe that God exists. Now what? Because that when they knew God, there it is again. These people up here, the verses before, when they knew God, or could have known God, or didn't know God, or should have believed that God exists because of what they saw. He says now, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Intelligent, ignorant, spiritually. And when they could really have grasped the truth of God's Word, He wanted to reveal it to them, but He won't reveal it without faith. And He said now that when they knew God, when they had that chance or did have possibly existence of God, knowing that He exists, they didn't glorify Him as God. And then go back to Adam. Adam certainly knew God. There came a time they didn't glorify Him as God. And though this is talking about the human race because it's speaking in they, in plural, again, he became vain in their imagination. Watch the downward steps now. Watch. When they knew God, they first glorified Him not as God. They were not thankful. They became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, and God says they became fools. Now, they'd say today, we're the fools for believing it. They'd say today, well, we've made study things different than man ever did before. We know what you're teaching, not so. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to get no better. I pray that God help us see revival. This world's not going to get no better. That's all there is to it. Because you know why? Because the true Word of God's been destroyed. And I don't know how many people just this week alone that I've been sitting and talked with at different places, hospital, and other places. I wonder, just amazes me that they're saying, Brother Ennis, you know what I fear? I'll be honest with you. I fear that our children and grandchildren are not going to have the example nor the Word of God to follow like we had coming up. Because it's been destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been here enough to see people start out and they've been taught the Word of God, and some of them would stick to it, but many of them would leave it. There's people right now, been in this church for years and years, who believed through the years they were here that we believe the King James Bible has been the preserved inspired, preserved Word of God. And even today, as adults, they're toting something other than that. So what's going to happen? You say it don't matter. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Listen, the only way God's going to reveal Himself through His Word. He's not going to come the other way. He's already documented. He's not going to document it again. It's already been documented. He's going to preserve it for the language that it needs to go into. I believe that. But when those generation of people are being destroyed, where are they going to have that accurate? When the Bible can say anything you want it to say, because it's written in so many different ways, based on how people looked at words because they were preference and prejudice about where they were living rather than being what God wanted them to be. And so you're going to end up with population getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And you're going to find out after a period of time, they're not going to have nobody that they can really believe in the sense. If the Lord don't come back in a couple of generations from now, our grandchildren are not going to be fine. Many churches that are strictly Bible-believing church and take a stand like we see today. Hey, when I came along years ago and started out, there was hundreds of them. And there's a lot less today. Believe me, there's a lot less today. We got a lot of churches. And I know we got a long ways to go, but I'm telling you that you leave the book, you might as well, you could go any direction. And when people begin to replace the book with anything else other than the teaching of God's Word, then you're going to find out that that is the criteria that they go to worship God. And suddenly, there's another means of worship that becomes idol. Idol worship. Because it takes away from the doctrinal talk from the Scriptures that God wants us to know. He says, goes on, he says again, for us to be wise. Watch. What happened to this downward spiral? Not only did they didn't glorify when they knew Him as God, they were not thankful, they became vain in their imagination, their foolish hearts were darkened. Ladies, let me ask you something. If a person truly is thankful, then why would they not follow God as near as they know how? You tell me what's going on in society. Are you and I not spiritual enough? Don't make us gods. We're not saying that. But spiritual enough to understand what the Scripture says, that someone who's a liberal and someone's a modern and someone who is a fundamental Bible. And I put Bible believing because nowadays a fundamentalist, name a fundamentalist is not necessarily a fundamentalist. Because my term brought up as a fundamentalist is not Islam. It's not Muslim. I was brought up, the first word I heard fundamentalism was those who believe the Bible being the absolute Word of God. Amen. Believe that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. Believe that the Holy Spirit moved into a person when you were born again and you had to be born again. That's fundamentalism. Amen. From a biblical standpoint. Amen. Just because someone's devout somewhere or another and labeled fundamentalist, that word can cover that, but it doesn't cover what we were brought up to be as fundamentals. Now, look, he says, now, after they profess themselves to be wise, watch. Here's the change. You see, they move from intelligent to ignorance, and now they're moving to idolatry. Because what they did, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. You see? Made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. In other words, now he's left the intelligence about what God will reveal himself to a place of ignorance, and they're mixed up about who God is, and so now they begin to look at God through the imagination or the mind, and they create gods out of that which is matter, which suits them. It's always some odd-looking thing. When you show it on an outward appearance, you take a dead tree and you're trying to make something out of it, and you give it all kinds of power. And you remember when we read, I won't go back again, where God said, they don't have ears to hear, they don't have a mouth to talk, they don't have eyes to see, and yet you give them all of this power. And you know something else, ladies and gentlemen? The more you hear someone preach like we preach, and a person don't believe it, the less they're concerned about being with us. That's all there is to it. Because, listen, you either accept it or you don't. If you don't, it cuts against the grain. If you do, there's a rejoicing, hallelujah, chorus in your heart because you realize you're heading in a direction that God honors and He blesses. And so again, He says you come to corrupt things. And so my level is here is that it's not only talking about if I put something somewhere or another and worship it go somewhere and see a picture of Jesus Christ, and they say, man, that amazing thing. No matter where you walk, them eyes follow you. That's all it is, man-made, though. There's no power. You ever seen that? I remember a picture years ago. Was in a home one time and said, preacher, don't you look at that picture? I've never seen anything like that. So what is it? Look at it. Walk around and watch his eyes. And all of a sudden they had power given to a picture because it looked like he was looking at you everywhere you went to. He said, that'd keep you from doing wrong. No, it won't. That picture won't keep you from doing wrong. I'll tell you who will, that the Holy Spirit in here, when there's something comes to us in the sense, so my conscience comes to us to reveal to us this truth, you know. So again, he says that if they make them into an image. The first thing happens when you get in that place of ignorance and you don't know who God really is, you start formulating it. You know there's got to be a supreme being. You know you're so complicated, you can't, somehow or another, even when people say it just happened at a big bang, you can't quite get that worldwide. So pagans and others will come up with a form that they think God's like, set him somewhere or another, make it so you buy it and worship it, and in turn, it pacifies us for a little bit because it suppresses that feeling that we have about a supreme being. Now, watch this. When you get to the place that you end up in idolatry, you move from intelligent to ignorance and go to idolatry, the next thing that comes has got to be immorality. Watch. Wherefore, listen, when they came to this place here, wherefore, verse 24 said, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Automatically, if they began to make gods in the form of that which they can concentrate or think about, birds, creatures, things in this life, so forth, then automatically they're making their God as they are. That's what God tells them. I'll go back to that already. I've been to those verses. They're making their God as they are, and you know that there's not going to be no morals if you're making your God. You're not going to make a God, and all of a sudden the God you make condemn you every time you turn around. Amen? You're not going to do that. So what happens is you make your God, and in turn your God that you make allows certain things, and it leads to immorality. And he goes on, he said, whereas God gave them up, to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Watch this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to have the four-footed beast and the birds sitting on the shafts. The image can be in your mind. The image can hinder anything that would keep you from doing what God had called you to do. It can be the imagination. And he said they changed the truth of God into life. In other words, whatever God says to do, we justify while we don't do it because where we're at. And when you do that, you change God's truth into a lie. Anytime God tells me that I want to be doing something, and I try to justify it because God wants to understand, it's the same principle. You're literally changing what God said into a lie. Because you said it don't mean that to me. You kind of wish we hadn't got on the Ten Commandments, don't you? It don't mean that to me. My case is different. Watch. He changed the truth of God into lie and worship, watch, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So be it. Watch. And for this cause, for what cause? Again, watch, he gave them up in verse 24 to start with because of this downward spiral. He says, "This is you want that? You got it. There it is." He just, it's like putting them in neutral, letting them go. And then they put themselves in a direction they want to go. If you want that, you've got it. Then he says, they change. When they get that, so they change truth to lie and so forth. Then he said, for this cause, what cause? Because they do change the truth into a lie. Because they do worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. You know why? Because they made the creature a god by taking an image and making him like. You ever wonder why people, when they're going to worship a god, especially if they're going to make a god that they're going to bow down and worship, it looks awful, doesn't it? I believe if I was going to make something, I'd make it a lot prettier than some of them do. They look terrible. You watch some of them. You got bird's face and a man's body and feathers on him and hair. He'll have one figure and four or five different pictures on him. How in the name of heaven can you come up with a God looking like that? It's a figure of a man's imagination. Everything he put in that statue had to do with something in his mind about how God, his God would be. And then I think of Buddha. You ever seen that one in Buddha? A blowed up stump of some kind. You ever seen that over there where they worship sometime? Man, it looks... When man goes from intelligence to ignorance, he really goes to ignorance, don't he, when he starts making what a God should look like. And then he goes on and he said, who changed the truth? And I'll get, this will be heard, I'm sure I'll get a letter on that about Buddha. I seem like I don't mention anything, so I don't mention something. Write me a letter about it. But listen, I come to the conclusion that if they have a right to try to convince me this is right, I have a right to try to convince this wrong. I just believe that. And he goes on, he says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection. Now, they're in immorality. They moved from idolatry to immorality, and God has given them up to vile affections. For even their women, watch, they but vile affection, they change the distinction between a man and a woman's relationship. And he gave them vile affection. And notice he goes on and he says, for even their women did change the natural use that they had, that unto that which is against nature. And that's how God put it. He said it's absolutely against the nature of two women and two men. It's just against the nature. God didn't make them that way. Likewise, verse 27, unto the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. They're going to receive the reward of their deeds. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate means he gave them that they could deal and thrive in their speculation. Here we go. From intelligent to ignorance to idolatry to immorality, and now God gives them a reprobate mind. That is, you're left to yourself. Do anything you speculate to do. Do those things which are right in your own eyes. The Bible puts in another place. It's left open. That's what you want? I'll give you a reprobate mind. I withdraw myself at that moment, except if the gospel comes to you. You can go your way, and I'll let you go, and you can do the speculation of your mind. You go back to the book of Genesis and find, for God destroyed the earth with water. They were doing the imagination of their heart. And this is where this is at this particular time. And he goes on, he said, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and malicious, and he named so many, he couldn't name them all, for envy and murder and debate, deceit and malignity and whispers and backbiting and haters of God, despitefully proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Boy, we're there today. The internet's most invented thing in this world for evil that you've ever seen, when it could be for good. There have been more people destroyed. And I'm telling you, the internet has destroyed more people than television has. Because at least on television, there are some things you have to imagine more than see. And they tell me, I don't know, but I've seen statistics that there is literally trillions of dollars been spent on pornographic stuff on the internet. Not billions, but trillions. It's the, according to the news the other night, it's the most money-making thing in this universe. Now, somebody's got to be looking at it. And somebody's got to be doing more than looking at it. Because they tell me it costs us when you go on there. They tell me. What I'm saying to you again, backbiters, haters, what? Without understanding, disobedient to parents. Boy, that comes in what we see Paul told Timothy. Inventors of evil things. When I read that back a few years ago, I put Las Vegas there. Now I could put internet. Certainly television could go there. But television now, you know, at least I can say, thank God, I remember when they never used God's name on the television. You won't find that now. They are using God's name quicker than use anyone else's name. In fact, I'll be honest with you. They use God's name more than in vain than they would Allah. And he goes on, he said, without understanding. They have no understanding. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, natural revelation that God has given to us where we could have an access to know who the true God is as He reveals Himself, who's invisible. Affection, He said, and again, impotent and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, He said, this is the thing, even in fact they make their idols, they know there's a type of recompense, there's a type of accountability, there's a type of judgment. Even communities without a God will set up methods of ruling their communities. They realize what it means to have authority. They know you can't collect to live as people and everybody do what's right in their own eyes. You have to have laws and regulations that governs each individual society. It might be different when you cross the line of some place or a territory gain of some village, but yet each one of those villages have their individual laws for govern themselves in those situations. He said, "In who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it." Those who know it, commit the same, and have, when they should be against it, have pleasure in seeing others do it. And this is where God shows where man has come from. When it comes from his intelligence to his ignorance, to his idolatry, to his immorality, to a reprobate mind. And a reprobate mind, of course, again, he does what speculated in his own eyes. If you look, and then verse 20 goes back, and we see the original revelation of God. He said that, as we read, "For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made." The creative power that there is a God is seen in creation. And the reason for that, in Revelation, in Psalms chapter 19, in verse 1, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." In other words, the heavens declare the glory of the great, almighty, powerful God. The heavens themselves, just look at them, declares that. And then, of course, we have the revelation of God revealed eternal, unchanged in his power. And just make a couple comments. If you go look in Psalms 8, verse 3, you can see that. And in Psalm chapter 8, and verse 3, God says, 3 and 4, he says, "When I consider thy heavens," the psalmist did, "the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art?" He said, "I consider that. What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Isn't that an amazing thing? See, when I look at the creation of God and what he's done, and I look at man in his fullness, what is man that God is mindful of him? Boy, he must love us, hasn't he? He must really love us. And he said, "And the Son of Man, that thou should visit him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Of course, again, the heavens declare his handiwork. In verse 20, he said, again, because he said, "For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by things that are made." If you look in Acts chapter 14, back with me, Acts chapter 14 and down about verse 17. He said, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Again, creation is so clearly reveals God that man is without excuse. Man's rebellion and sin did not come through ignorance. I'm going to give these last comments, and we're going to leave this commandment next week and go into commandment 2. Man's rebellion and sin did not come through ignorance. It came through a willful rebellion in the light of knowledge, in the very presence of a clear light that God gave to him. He didn't do it in ignorance. It was plain. Listen, no one, even a little child, will tell you that Adam and Eve knew what God said about that tree. Ask them. They'll tell you. And Adam and Eve knew too. Today, families have become so smart and so sophisticated that they have ruled out the biblical God to their own making of who God is. And this is idolatry. When you come to Christ, you lose your religion. In chapter 17 of the book of Acts, look with me. I'm going to read these quicker because I'm closing. Acts 17, look in verse 24 through 26. Acts chapter 17. Here's where Paul's on Mars Hill, you remember? And he talks about God that made the world and all things are in sin, the Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth in it, not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he's needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He'd made of one blood and so forth. The God of our Bible is not only our creator, he's also our redeemer. In the past, he is our creator. In the present, he's our redeemer. In the future, he's our judge. And of course, God is going to be the judge of the world. When it comes to their destiny, of course, he's already set our destiny in Christ. Look in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. For the last thought here, Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Here's what God's word says. He says, "Because he hath appointed a day," I'm talking about he'd be our judge now, "he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man." You know who that man is? Tell me. Jesus Christ, "that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men." Isn't it an amazing thing? Don't come claiming your Christ to me. Oh, he's the only one I can give to.
He said, who hath ordained whereof, he hath ordained whereof, he had given assurance to all men in that he raised him from the dead. The fact that Christ rose from the dead is the seal that whatever God says about him is so. And we can trust him from the depth of our soul. And so now, this first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ladies and gentlemen, because we can know the infallible and glorious God, there is no reason to turn to any other type of God. Where it be that which we make and put into something materialistically or imaginary in our mind. And the second commandment you're going to see goes further in developing why this can't be. You see, listen, and I close with this thought on the first commandment. God insists that humanity recognize him as the only true living God. And he says that in his first commandment. Father, I want to thank you for the study of your word. Bless yourself. Get glory and honor in all that's said. The Lord, you can't read Apostle Paul and any of the others that they didn't have to take some strong stands in their day. And right now, we've had a light stand to take, but Lord, I see a rising coming. I may be going off the scene if the Lord don't come back, but some of the other young preachers coming along are going to have some hard times preaching the Word of God. Lord, it's not going to be long. Already got some articles this week I saw. It's not going to be long. You can't preach Jesus Christ as the only way of life without being a hate crime. You'll not be able to preach against sin. Because any sin that you would call that the Bible, you just read it from the Bible, call from the Bible, it will be a hate crime. There will literally be like the word when this country was founded many years ago in foreign countries where they came from, many mother countries that people came from. There will be literally people put in jail, not because they committed a crime, but because they stood on the principles and the doctrines of this book. And Father, when we stand for Jesus Christ and God only, as we do, then that automatically puts us in a camp where others look at us as being against what they say. And to do so makes us look like that we're committing hate crimes. And the laws of the land are going to protect religion and condemn, thus saith the Lord. Give us strength, Lord. Help us in these last days. Please, Lord, what a joy it would be to hear the trumpet. What a joy it would be to hear the voice of the archangel. What a joy it would be in a split second be changed and meet the Lord in the air. But until that day comes, we have to occupy. And Father, I believe that everything that you've written in this book, somehow or another, is strengthening us and enhancing us to stand on those principles that God's put in our hearts when we were saved about who Jesus Christ is and what he's doing in this life. Please bless your people. May this be a place to come because of hunger of the Word of God. Help individuals' time not be wasted. And help understand that we have to look to you, and then there is a stand that has to be taken until we see your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.